May it please the court, Christopher D. Bryan, attorney registration number 35522, on behalf of plaintiff appellant Elizabeth Shook. We're here today, your honors, on a CORA case emitting from Pitkin County, Colorado, where the custodian, the county attorney, withheld records based on a provision in CORA that says that he may, if there is a criminal investigatory file maintained by a prosecuting attorney or a sheriff, and that in his opinion is contrary to the public interest. Here, the three elements have not been met, and that's why reversal is necessary. In the first case, this was not a criminal investigatory file, and this court ruled in 2011 under Landowners United, which prompted some statutory amendments, that the investigatory files exception must be narrowly construed to only pertain to criminal matters, criminal investigations that have begun in earnest by one of the offices that can prosecute crimes. Here, the Pitkin County attorney, on their own website, says that they do not handle criminal matters. The record shows that, as long as anyone can remember, the Pitkin County attorney has never prosecuted a land use violation, an alleged land use violation, as a criminal matter. Rather, it's a civil or administrative proceeding.
Excuse me, counsel, you have a little difficulty with the record here in that the record in the trial court doesn't include the statement on the website that you've just mentioned, and you've been trying to get it into our court. So what do we do? What are the appellate rules with regard to whether we can even consider that evidence that you're trying to bring in?
Yes, Your Honor. First of all, I don't think that aspect is critical to my case, but I will address it. Under CRE 201, an appellate court may take judicial notice of the fact that the Pitkin County Attorney's Office has never prosecuted a criminal matter, and it says so to its own constituents on the website. So under CRE 201 would be the mechanism to do that if the court were inclined to look at that.
Well, there was some contrary evidence put on in the trial court, wasn't there?
No, Your Honor. The only witness for the custodian, Carrington Brown, testified in the 8 years that he's worked in that office, there's never been a criminal prosecution. And as far back as he knows, since before he got there, in 2005, there's never been a criminal prosecution by the Pitkin County attorney. Even if that office did prosecute crimes, they can't prosecute a land use violation under their own land use code unless the chief building inspector or the director of the community development department authorizes it. So the Pitkin County attorney cannot unilaterally say, I'm going to start prosecuting a crime for a alleged land use violation. The code itself vests that decision with those two other officials, which are not in his office.
Mr. Bryan, assuming for the sake of argument today that the county's never brought a criminal prosecution, and further assuming that no land use violation occurred here that would warrant prosecution, nevertheless, for purposes of whether or not the county attorney is a prosecuting attorney, isn't it accurate to say that if the county attorney wanted to prosecute matters, it could do so?
Well, as I just answered, Your Honor, not for land use violations. The land use code specifically says that the decision to prosecute a land use violation rests with two other officials not in the county attorney's office, the chief building inspector or the community development director. So, no, the answer is no to that, Your Honor. And moreover, we know that this was not a criminal investigation because the documents that have been withheld are documents that were voluntarily made on a citizen complaint form that was pre-investigation. There was no investigation underway. The documents that we're seeking, the citizen complaint form, even has at the top an advisory that says in disclaimer language, presumably written by the Pitkin County attorney, that the Colorado Opens Record Act states that the public records such as this complaint form may be open to public inspection. Therefore, you may not wish to provide any information you consider confidential. Now, it's what is happening, and you see this in cases like Daniels and in Dreyfus, where one governmental office, here the Community Development Department, received a citizen complaint form, and then it was placed into the county attorney's file. Now, what those other cases have held, and this is consistent in Colorado law in court, is that you cannot trigger a shielding mechanism under CORE simply by placing it in another file. For example, sexual harassment claims. If those were a personnel in the personnel file, then those would be shielded under a statutory exception. However, if they are in a separate file, you can't then shield them by placing them in a personnel file. And we saw the same thing with the Pueblo case that was cited in Dreyfus, where you cannot, a custodian cannot avail themselves of these exceptions simply by putting it in a so-called prosecuting attorney's file. Now, one of the more interesting parts here is that we know that the custodian does not typically treat these citizen complaint forms as criminal investigatory files. How do we know that? Because it's in the record. Another form with another complainant's name and the person that they're complaining about was provided by the custodian to my client, Ms. Sho, on a separate CORE request. So it's what we have here is a case of the custodian making a very subjective determination that he didn't like why Ms. Shook was looking for the documents that pertained to her and her property. So he said that because of the identity of the requester and the perceived purpose, that there was no positive community benefit. And that is an inversion of the test. The custodian carries the burden to prove that it's contrary to public interest. What the custodian did here and what the trial court subscribe to erroneously was saying, well, you can't, applicant Ms. Shook, you cannot prove to us or demonstrate a positive purpose, and therefore that's, we're going to equate that as being contrary to public interest.
But let me ask you about that, Mr. Bryan. I see where in the court's order he talks about a positive purpose. But I'm unable to see elsewhere in the record where that concept comes from.
It comes from the December 19th, 2012 correspondence from Mr. Ely, the custodian, to my office in response to the CORE request, and said that he can see no positive community benefit and only the potential for untoward consequences. And based on that subjective determination, he denied the CORE request. If a graduate student from CSU had requested these land use records, they would presumably have been turned over. It's only because the custodian did not like the reasons that he believed Ms. Shook was looking for the documents and withheld on those grounds. And that's improper.
And in fact, she doesn't have to give a reason.
She does not. Positive, neutral, negative, it doesn't matter. In fact, CORE says that. CORE says, and this has been clarified in the case law, is that custodians are not to scrutinize the reason someone wants documents. They're not, an applicant does not have to set forth a specific interest. That's improper. When the custodian does that, that's a slippery slope that we're creating and a high potential for abuse, because then custodians can subjectively say, well, I don't like this applicant, but I like that applicant. And so I'm going to say that it's contrary to public interest in my own unfettered discretionary opinion.
If were we to agree with you that this is not a criminal investigatory record, do we even have to get to the public interest question?
No, you don't, Your Honor, because all three of those prongs must be satisfied by the custodian. If they fail on one, the case is reversed. So if you find that this was not a criminal investigatory file, the inquiry can stop there. If you find that this wasn't a prosecuting attorney, the inquiry could stop there. Or we could also win if we demonstrate that disclosure would not be contrary to the public interest. I'd like to reserve the balance of my time. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. Pitkin County and John Ely, as custodian of the record, are represented here today by me, Laura Maker. What they request is that the trial court order that records which the county attorney's office withheld were not improperly withheld under the Colorado Open Records Act. Now, the county attorney and Pitkin County relied on several exceptions when they refused to turn over those records. The trial court, specifically dealing with two records, which is all that's on appeal here today, even though there was an additional record at issue before the trial court, said only one exception really applies, and that is the language in CRS 2472-204-2AI, which says, records of an investigation by a prosecuting attorney or investigatory files compiled for law enforcement purposes, where disclosure would be against the public interest, do not have to be turned over. That's really two initial prongs. It could be one or the other, and then a secondary prong, the public interest.
Ms. Maker, let me ask you first about the judicial notice request. The way I read the rule, where a party makes the request at any stage of the proceedings and supplies us with the necessary information of an adjudicative fact, we have to take judicial notice. It's not discretion to do this. Do you agree with that assessment?
I haven't read it quite that way. I've read it that the court may take judicial notice.
I think it may in some cases, but it must in the circumstances I just described.
Yes, but those have not been met here.
Well, there's an adjudicative fact, isn't there?
I don't think so, no.
Well, isn't an admission by a party an adjudicative fact?
This is not an admission by a party.
Let me ask you, if the website says you don't prosecute, would you consider that to be an admission by the county?
Well, if the county had had the opportunity at that point in time, we would have investigated whether it was an actual admission by a party or whether it was simply a statement designed to discourage citizens who call daily looking for the district attorney's office that this is not the district attorney's office.
Does the county prosecute these matters?
Yes.
When?
This is not in the record, but specifically the county has prosecuted land use code violations in Thomasville where...
But they're not cured.
Correct.
This was cured.
Yes. But the county didn't know that going into the situation.
Once it did know it, and it received a CORA request, it had to pony up the records, didn't it?
I don't think so, Your Honor. Specifically, this says not that, as in the Kentucky case cited by Ms. Shook, that if there's a prospective action, you don't have to turn them over. This says if they fall within those files and it's against the public interest, then you don't have to turn them over.
What public interest is served by not releasing these documents?
Well, specifically, there was substantial factual evidence submitted to the trial court that there is threats made when this type of information is turned over.
By Ms. Shook?
By individuals similarly situated to
Ms. Shook. But not by Ms. Shook.
No, because you can't specifically say, I know what she will do if she hasn't done it yet.
And there was no testimony that she had threatened anyone, was there?
No, although there was specific statements in the record that she would perhaps use the information to file a defamation claim, a slander of title claim, things of those nature.
Which people have a right to the court, to access to the courts, don't they?
Absolutely.
That's not a proper threat, is it?
No, but it goes to show what this information would have been used for. It wouldn't have been used to resolve the criminal misdemeanor, the violation of the land use code.
It doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be used to resolve anything. It can. It only has to be used to satisfy somebody's curiosity.
Agreed. As long as it isn't against the public interest.
And that's what I'm trying to get. Is I'm having a devil of a time figuring out what public interest is served by withholding these kinds of things.
Well, what was discussed before the trial court is the fact that there are frequently retaliation against the, here we have an anonymous citizen who gave information to the county attorney's office. The code enforcement officer separately went out and investigated that information to determine whether or not it was true or not. And only after we got that information that, you know, a violation had occurred, did we go forward in issuing a notice of violation and starting either an administrative, a civil, or a criminal process.
Why is that evidence that there are sometimes threats against other citizens even relevant in this case?
Because
it had nothing to do with Ms. Shook.
Because the county attorney's office has, over a substantial portion of time, noticed that this occurs, and it threatens the health, safety, and welfare of the community. It also increases the administrative burden on the community dealing with fraudulent complaints that are sent in retaliation, dealing with verbal violence.
Quora requests are always obnoxious, pretty much, okay? I would say if you are the custodian, you don't want them, right? And they can result in some pretty bad consequences, right? And
correct.
People can make threats if they find out what people are saying. Does that mean, is that really relevant to Ms. Shook's case at all?
It is, and that's why there's that second prong. And this is why the county attorney's office disclosed some records where there would be no possible negative outcome, this potential for violence, verbal violence, retaliation against a citizen complainant. It's just the record, those two records that we're talking about now, where there was directly evidence that the trial court found in its factual findings was likely to result in a negative public interest. That's what we're talking about.
Let me change focus slightly if I could. The only witness the county called was Mr. Brown.
Correct.
Mr. Brown was not a decision maker on the Quora request.
Correct.
Then do we have any evidence in the record of why the county denied the Quora request other than Mr. Ely's letter or letters to Mrs. Shook's lawyer?
The letters are what we rely on.
That's the record of why.
Yes. In addition to Mr. Brown's statements about his personal experiences.
But he's not the decision maker. We have no basis in the record to conclude that Mr. Ely even knew what Mr. Brown had experienced. Correct?
In the record, no, although Mr. Brown says it's been the county attorney's policy and he's discussed it with Mr. Ely.
Okay, but Mr. Brown never said, I reported to Mr. Ely that there had been a verbal threat, correct?
In this case, correct.
Well, no, in any, when Mr. Brown is recounting his 8-10 years experience, which apparently includes one verbal threat against a complaining party, did he ever say, I shared that with Mr. Ely?
On the record here, no.
Well, we're only concerned with on the record.
I understand.
Okay. Did Mr. Brown testify that this circumstance where a complaining party felt that he had to carry a gun for his or her protection had been reported to Mr. Ely?
On the record, no.
Okay. Did Mr. Ely ever say in his letter or letters that he is withholding these records because of threats?
He said because of the potential for untoward circumstances. These fall within those untoward circumstances.
Well, and I've got the December 21 letter. What's the date or exhibit number of the letter where he talked about untoward circumstances?
I don't have it directly in front of me, but there were only 10 exhibits, so it's in one of those. It's the letter from
okay,
Mr.
But I guess my point is, it seems to me that Mr. Brown's testimony is irrelevant unless he testified that he was a decision maker and that was the basis of the decision, or he communicated that information to the decision maker, thereby perhaps implying it was the basis for the decision, or the decision maker who didn't testify in the letter said, this is the basis for my decision. Otherwise, what's the relevance of Mr. Brown's anecdotes?
So those anecdotes are direct supporting evidence of the potential for negative public outcome. So why it's not in the public interest. Now that was evidence put on by the county attorney's office. Now the county attorney himself was not required to say those things out of his mouth to make them true. Rather, they're evidence that the trial court was able to look at in determining if there is potential for a negative outcome. It's that pendulum of disclosure. is something bad going to happen? That's really what the county showed here. There's serious potential for something bad to happen.
Ms. Maker, didn't the General Assembly already take that into consideration when it came to the conclusion that under the Colorado Open Records Act, there was a strong presumption that documents should be disclosed to the public?
And that's why these exceptions have to be read as they're written. If there's a prosecuting attorney or an investigatory file for law enforcement purposes, and it's against the public interest, only then can it be withheld. It's not, if you have something in your file, you can keep it, no one can ever get to it. It's if that public interest prong hasn't been met, which the trial court found was met based on specific factual findings in the record.
What evidence was presented to the trial court that the Pitkin County attorney has ever prosecuted one of these building code violations as a criminal matter?
There was no evidence, but there was no need for such evidence. There's a statutory provision that provides if you violate the land use code of any county, which the trial court found as a factual finding occurred here, then the prosecutor for a land use code violation is the county attorney's office. It's not a question whether or not they've done it in the last 8 years. It's a statutory question.
Help me. Does the statute expressly empower all county attorneys to criminally prosecute building code violations?
Yes.
As opposed to simply saying it is a crime, the statute expressly says the county attorney can prosecute.
The Pitkin County attorney is the prosecuting attorney for such violations. CRS 30-28-124-1C. It's specifically spelled out in that statute.
And what about your opponent's point that such a prosecution can't be initiated unless, and he named two other officials, have to endorse it?
Well, that's also evidence that's not in the record.
That's not in the statute?
No, it's not.
All right, fair enough. Thank you.
Disclosure is contrary to public interest here because it will escalate a situation that has been resolved. It was clear throughout this entire matter that the whole purpose of Ms. Shook's open records request was to obtain the name of the confidential informant. Now, the trial court specifically looked at, what happens if we disclose this information? Well, Ms. Shook specifically said she wants to resolve this with that person. Well, she's not able to resolve it with this person. Violating the land use code is something you resolve with the county. That's something that previously occurred. Now, additionally, there is, as a participant in a democracy, an obligation to communicate knowledge about commissions of crime to law enforcement, and anonymity encourages that obligation to be performed. There's potential for reprisal and violence, as we've discussed. And here there was also an independent determination as to whether or not Ms. Shook violated the land use code and thus committed a criminal misdemeanor. So we're not, the county attorney's office is not just relying willy-nilly on possible incorrect information. They're going through and independently verifying and determining, did this actually occur, and following the correct steps with this. Now, in those two records, what we're talking about is really the confidential informant's name at this point. There's really not much more information in those records beyond that. And that's why, specifically, only those two records were withheld.
Now, is it true that based on the record, we don't know if this was a telephone complaint, but actually, so somebody else filled out the form, or the complaining party filled out the form himself or herself and therefore would have read the disclaimer on confidentiality?
Correct. There's no information into the record that the informant knew of that disclosure certificate that Mr. Brian mentioned at the top of the complaint.
Thank you.
And counsel, I'm looking at the statute you just cited, 30-28-124-1C. It says the Board of Commissioners, if the Board of Commissioners deems it appropriate, they can appoint the district attorney to perform such duties in lieu of the county attorney. Has there been such an appointment made?
No.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Your Honor, I'd like to first talk about the statutory question. That is modified under Pitkin County's Home Rule Land Use Code. At the Pitkin County Code at section 10-30-70, this is cited in the briefs, where it says only the chief building official or the Pitkin County Community Development Department director may request commencement of a criminal enforcement action. After the property owner refuses to bring the property violation into compliance and civil penalties are an inadequate remedy.
Excuse me, tell me again what you're citing from, please.
I'm citing from the Pitkin County Land Use Code, which is the specific provisions under which the Pitkin County attorney handles the alleged land use violation. So true, yes, the state statute does create a default mechanism if the Pitkin County attorney and board of county commissioners allows it for a county attorney to be a prosecuting attorney. But in this case, it's not under the Pitkin County's own land use code. Now, if I think the colloquy that we heard just now by the appellee's attorney indicates something. You're having a custodian make a subjective determination if whether disclosure to a certain person is positive or negative. And like we discussed before, that's not what the statute is there for. The statute is not a crime prevention statute. The statute, and this is a legislative policy at the very top of CORA, it creates a strong general presumption in favor of disclosure, and exceptions are to be narrowly construed.
I think your biggest impediment to your case is the abuse of discretion standard that's set out in the Supreme Court precedent that we have to look at. How do you deal with that?
Well, Your Honor, I don't believe that the county attorney has the discretion to look at the...
No, the trial court has discretion in making these factual determinations.
I understand that as well, but this court may look at that mixed question of law and facts, and it may apply the facts to the law and review de novo. So even if the court did, even if you do defer to the factual findings, and you don't have to do that where there's clear error or where there's no evidence in the record, and here there is no evidence in the record. For example, the trial court found that she believed that Ms. Shook was going to retaliate, but there was no evidence to support that. Zero. And I think that was even admitted, tacitly or otherwise, by my opponent. So in this situation, you have to look at the statutory language de novo to say, was this a criminal investigatory file maintained by a prosecuting attorney? And again, a criminal investigation hadn't started because under their own land use code, it couldn't have started yet. And would disclosure be contrary to public interest? And here's the bright line test that the court should look at here. Custodians should not be scrutinizing the motivations or identities of applicants. They should only be looking at the contents of the document. Is this document itself contrary to public interest?
So we would review this much like a Rule 106 proceeding.
I believe that's right, Your Honor. In the sense that you have to look at what CORA allows custodians to do and the basis for which they did them. And the case law is very clear here that if there is not an express exception, and Landowners United actually clarified this issue, and there were statutory amendments, that's the way the custodian should have proceeded, by the way. On June 7th, 2012, the statute was amended so that civil and administrative investigatory files were differentiated from criminal investigatory files, and at the close of those civil or administrative investigations, the documents had to be turned over, although at the discretion of the custodian, they could redact identifying information. That's not how this case proceeded, which was post June 7th, 2012. That's not what the custodian maintained. If the custodian really didn't want the name to be released, it could have proceeded under that statutory amendment, post Landowners United. Instead, the custodian has insisted that this is a criminal investigatory file. And that's the problem. And that's where the court has to very carefully look at what's going to happen if this denial of a court request is allowed to stand. Because then you're going to have municipal lawyers and other custodians around the state figuring out a way to put something in an alleged possible future criminal investigatory file, documents that they simply don't want released. Now, the custodian would be on better grounds if they didn't even ask for the complainant's information, if they didn't ask for the phone number and address. But they do, and that's why they have the core advisory at the top. The custodian would also be on better ground if they didn't release any of these, but they released this one, but this one's not concerning Ms. Shook. So again, they're using a subjective, personalized analysis to say, we don't like what the requester might do with it.
So is what you're saying a grounds to say that the trial court did abuse its discretion in determining that release of these records was contrary to the public interest?
Yes. Yes, it did, because that goes beyond the limited scope of the narrowly construed exceptions under the core statute itself. So yes, the court did abuse its discretion, but you don't have to defer to the court as to its legal conclusions regarding whether this was a criminal investigatory file maintained by a prosecuting attorney for the purpose, and the disclosure would be contrary to the public interest. And by the way, it was not anonymous. The person put their name on it, so it wasn't a confidential informant. He voluntarily did it, unsolicited. Thank you. I see my time has expired.
Okay, fine.
I'll answer any questions you have.
Well, I do have one. In response to Judge Graham's question, you referred to a December 19 letter from the county. The parts of the file I copied, there's a December 21 letter that explains Mr. Ely's reasoning. Are there two letters, or was it December
19th? I misspoke. I got the date wrong. It's the 21st, not the 19th.
That's the only statement in the record of why Mr. Ely did what he did.
That is correct, Your Honor.
Thank you. We appreciate the arguments of both counsel. The case stands submitted. Counsel are excused. We will issue a written opinion in due course. Counsel and